Blog Talk Radio.
Hotspot station itself. That's right. You're tuned in to Big Stats Idle Hour, and I'm your host, the one and only Matt Big Stats Frankel. And speaking of Hotspot, that was the remix to Hotspot. That was Hotspot, the Got Back remix, which will be released for and on iTunes later on this year. But if you Shazam it at the right moment, you probably can still pick up the non-remixed version if you want to hear more on Hotspot. But now to the subject at hand, and I'm no Joe Crisco at it when it comes to doing an American Idol review. I'm more of a go and audition for these type of shows type of guy. Which, if you follow me on my group on MSFP Crew on Instagram, or you see my YouTube channel, MASC4483, or any of my other social media outlets, you'll see that I'm pretty active with trying to make a name for myself in the industry, and have had some successes. Brings us to the topic at hand, the American Idol Farewell Season Week 1 Part 1 Review. Now, because I didn't do a show on Monday, and this was originally scheduled as a Monday show, I will be doing this week only an additional show for Part 2 of this on Friday, so stay tuned to that. So let's get to these reviews at hand. So this is part one, so we're talking about the day one auditions. That's all we'll be discussing in this review right here. Originally, I wanted to do day one and two, but I now trying to do it, I see exactly what Joe Crisco, who, if you haven't heard of him, you should definitely research him. He's a great professional YouTube blogger who has very clever comic reviews of American Idol, as well as some of the other programmings that we see. I apologize for that moment of silence. My computer locked up on me, and we're running this internet station, so I'm at the mercy of technology. It is a blessing and a curse. All right. And now my phone locked up on me. Let's get to our started. Michelle, our first auditioner was Michelle Marie. She's a diehard American Idol fanatic, and she even has a YouTube video where she was crying at age 10 over Scott McIntyre being kicked off of American Idol. She sang Blue by Leanne Rimes, and she made it through. And after that, we had a marathon of people auditioning at the primary auditions for American Idol in front of American Idol alumni. Now, I don't know how you thought that American Idol was run, but I'm going to let you in on a secret. For American Idol, there are primary auditions before the audition that you see on TV. When you see people lining up at the arena, that's not the same day as when people are in front of the judges that you see on TV. So they did something different this season and had the American Idol alumni at the primaries. So And my favorite part of this has got to be when it was Clay Aiken having to break it to one girl that Michael Jackson was never on American Idol. In fact, if we're being honest, the closest Michael Jackson has ever come to being involved with American Idol, other than a Michael Jackson songs performance week, is a rant by yours truly, and having his kids make an appearance on X Factor USA with Simon Cowell being there. All right, this brings us to Josiah Siska, who's saying Ghost Riders by Johnny Cash. The judges were digging the fact that he had this old school Western low voice sound. He was sorry, my notes are a little off, and I'm reading my notes exactly when I know that I've dictated this to Suri, and Suri sometimes is an idiot. Anyway, so rewind the script. He also sang a chromatic scale for Henry Connick Jr. He made it on the show. Next, we have Lindita, personal trainer and a former fat girl herself, who wound up marrying her own personal trainer after she lost a tremendous amount of weight. She came in and sang Man's World by James Brown and probably secured a spot as a front runner for winning this season. Next up was Billy Bob Everett. He flirted with J-Lo, a thing that many of us contestants who have auditioned have done. I definitely am guilty of this as well, but let's face it, when I walked in and the other judges were Steven Tyler, who granted is an amazing rock star, and Randy Jackson, there's no contest really on which judge there is the sexiest. But anyways, the way he carried himself reminded me of Larry the Cable Guy, the comedian Larry the Cable Guy. He sang Waylon Jerry, a honky tonk song. Personally, I was entertained by him and thought he should have gotten a golden ticket. And I liked his performance a lot more than Genevieve Rose Michelle's, which we'll get to more later. Next was Lee Jeans. Lee Jeans. I wonder if if there will be an endorsement deal in his future. Anyways, she's likely to become American Idol's resident R&B artist. He say I See Fire by Ed Sheeran. And in response, J-Lo wound up channeling Paul Abdul, saying that, oh, I just want to squeeze you. Then we get to her. Yes. Genevieve Rose Michelle. She sang Chainsaws by the band Perry. And in her package, we see that her family lives off the grid with a power generator that they use just so they can watch American Idol. In the background of her package, they're playing a hoedown cover of Lords Royals. She's much younger than Billy Bob, but she's definitely in the same sector of music. And I personally believe she's not as talented as Billy Bob. She does have talent, however, in playing the cello, which she showcased during her audition. My favorite part of her package has got to be the Lord Hoedown cover of Royals. And I'll be shocked if she makes it though to the live shows. Next, we've got Sonica Ladd. And she's probably going to be Lindita's biggest titian. My bet is you'll see both of these women in the finale. And obviously, she made it through. Next was Joseph Kalros. He claims to be a classically trained singer. But then again, so am I, and we all know where that got me in the American Idol history. If you went back and did his homework beforehand, he would have realized that there have always been three genres of music that have always struggled in American Idol. Hip hop, which, as many of you know, guilty of being in that genre. Classical and musical theater. This audition went pretty much how everyone expected it to go. He tried to pull off an operatic spin on Lionel Richie's Hello, but the judges just wanted to say goodbye. But I'll give him an A for effort. Next was Rhiannon Marino, though, and I'm sure I'm butchering her name, although I got it here. But she's an attractive female police officer who sang Leaving on Your Mind by Patsy Cline. The audition starts with an improv arrest scene and many subtle sexual innuendo jokes about bondage. I know from my own experience, if there's something that's presented in front of them that can be used and perversed in some way, shape, or form, they will do it. You know, for me, it was simply saying them splicing up what I said and me saying in the audition room that my throat's a little dry, but if I had some water, I could lubricate up my vocal cords, and I think that I could do a little bit better. And we all saw where they took that one. And quite personally, on my own retrospective review on my audition, that scene actually made me crack up. Because it was like, oh my God, they took it there. Wow. To Miss Malero. Oh God. Hopefully I'm mispronouncing her name. Otherwise, her name almost sounds like some sort of bad disease. Anyways, she's definitely a contender. The same way as Sonica in Lindita. but I fear that one of the three of them will be sacrificed on a sympathy card to get Genevieve, Rose, Michelle in the top 12. And it wouldn't be the first time they played the sympathy card that in the course of this show's history, especially since Simon Cowell's departure. All right. After that, we had a marathon of inspiring stories throughout the years of American Idol contestants who made it in the competition. And this was all a build-up to contrast with our next auditioning contestant, Sylvia. Sylvia Lee Rock Walker. What can I say? She is a complete riot. I love her. Not for her singing, but I really think she could do well auditioning for Last Comic Standing. She's very entertaining. And without voicing it, I could tell that the judges were in complete agreement with me on this. Next, we have a marathon of clips from people who previously auditioned for American Idol and returned for this season. And what a surprise, they all made it. Next, we cut over to a promo with Nick, the winner from last season, along with Scott, the head of Big Machine, you know, the mentor from last season who announced he was going to be mentoring again. And they were doing an interview talking about how Nick's almost done with his album and all of that with Ryan Seacrest. Alright, which brings us to our next audition. Joshua Wicker. He sang Stay by Rihanna and blew the judges away. 3 weeks later, his wife gave birth to their child. I already feel like I can relate to this guy because we both auditioned for American Idol, and I'm sure after my performance there were probably a few people out there who were calling me a Wicker too. Wicker led us to a montage of people auditioning with babies, which transitioned us into a married couple who were both auditioning for American Idol. First up was Alex Cesar. She and her husband auditioned with their baby in the room. They are worship leaders. She gave a cheery but talented performance of a Bruno Mars song. The judges sort of rudely brushed her aside, claiming to be distracted by her husband and baby in the room. Personally, I just think they were doing the old couples divide trick that they've done in previous seasons, such as with Alex Preston and Jillian Jensen, who are both extremely talented in their own rights. And probably they only got rid of Jillian Jensen over Alex Preston because she was on X Factor first and before American Idol. And as we know, Simon Fuller and Simon Cowell, they be beefing to Alex. If I could swap out one, her no with a yes, I would swap out her no with a yes out of curiosity with what she would do next. And I would give her the yes that the Genevieve Rose Michelle got, and send Genevieve Rose Michelle home. And if you pay attention to Jennifer Lopez's facial expressions, I think J-Lo was enjoying her performance. Her husband, however, was complete contrast to her. He gave an edgy rock rendition of a very popular Celine Dion song, which paid off for him. The funny thing was, Alex and their baby were in the room for his audition as well. For him, they didn't view her and the baby as a distraction. To the judges. Sorry about that. My phone is at, I'm reading these notes off my phone, and my phone is acting funky. But you can definitely see the love amongst this couple. She was very happy for his positive critiques, but was feeling hurt that the judges brushed her off so quickly. And like a true gentleman, rather than him relishing the fact that he made it on American Idol, he spent the remainder of his segment comforting his wife. Don't judge me, but it kind of brought tears to my eyes. Unless you've truly lived it, you don't know what it feels like when you're tossed into that environment like that. And I think it's great that they have each other to lean on like that. So next, that brings us to Kerry Courtney. He prepared for his audition by watching a Harry Connick Jr. movie. And I guess that's no different than me telling J-Lo that I liked her performance in the movie Selena. He sang Black Sun from Death Cab for Cutie. The judges sent him through, so now we can expect to see a budding bromance between him and Harry Connick Jr., which you could almost see that brewing up just by going back and watching it. So I'm waiting to see this bromance. Their name be. I would say their celebrity name would be Courtnick. for their last names. That they would be collectively known as Courtnick. This brought us to a marathon of people who are kissing ass to Harry. Oops. Who are. I was about to say kissing ass to Harry Connick Jr., but I think that'll be Kerry Courtney who'll be the kissing Harry Connick Jr.'s ass. Anyways, this brings us to Shelby Z. And I gotta admit, a part of me was waiting for an audition like this to make it official that we were watching American Idol. We finally got this season's country singing darling doing Carrie Underwood's Last Night that we've seen pretty much every season since Carrie Underwood won American Idol. The judges were feeling her performance, so we'll definitely be seeing more of her. And unless she falls through the cracks during Hollywood Week, I could see her being in the top 12. This brings us to probably my favorite audition of all. Kanye West. Yeah, yes, folks, you heard me correctly. Kanye West. No doubt this was a strategically planned publicity stunt to subconsciously promote the new season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which is a show that Ryan Seacrest, host of American Idol, executive produces. Now, for those of you who don't have me on Facebook, you can check out this video that I did about that audition in particular by going to my music Facebook page. It's facebook.com/TheRealBigStats. And there I state, Kanye West goes and raps one of his original songs to Jennifer Lopez in the American Idol audition room. When and where have we seen this before? And yeah, I'm a fan of Kanye, so I hate to be the one to have to rage at the guy, but I did it first. But they do say imitation is the highest form of flattery, so we cool. I think I did that singing though better on the video. I gotta admit my voice is a little hoarse. I've gotta drink a bunch of tea because I got like a show tomorrow so that I'm performing it. Anyways, come back on Friday. Remember, you can check out past and present episodes of Big Stats Idle Hour by going to BigStatsIdleHour.com or by going to our parent website, MSFPInc.com. That's MSFPINC.com. We can check out past and present episodes of Big Stats Idle Hour, hear music by my group, the MSFP crew, as well as music that I produce. See all the projects I'm involved in. Check out my credits. Soon we're going to be having a brand new store. But go there. Check out that page. See all the projects I'm involved with. And most importantly, while you're there at MSFPInc.com, that's MSFPINC.com on the homepage. We have two beautiful buttons. One is a donate button. We're working on creating a foundation, the Big Stats Cares Foundation, that will benefit special needs children through music education. And also, while you're there, my music partner, Skippa, she recently got last October, and she's doing a lot better now, but she got afflicted with a muscular disorder known as rhabdomyolysis, and we're raising money, you know, for medical research for rhabdomyolysis and to help with her medical expenses, as well as secure a series of club shows for her post-recovery. She's a hard-working musician, so check out the GoFundMe button and check out that donate button and help support what we do. We work hard for what we do and help support us. And usually right now I would close out the show with some music, but I think in lieu of that, you know, since it's the American Idol farewell show, I thought I would do some retrospective about, you know, things said about me in the press and comments that were said to me during my time on American Idol. First thing I would like to address, there was a comment said to me, I forget if it was on MySpace, Facebook, or Reverb Nation, where someone actually said to me that they checked out my music online and they were really impressed with what I had, and they didn't understand if this music was so good, why my audition on American Idol par with that. And I can answer that with this. I have struggled over the years with learning disabilities, which that doesn't necessarily affect my performance, but I was just throwing that out there as an additional fact, and bipolar disorder. That does affect one's performance, especially when they're on the verge of a bipolar episode. You know, such famous occurrences of citing this can be seen with YouTubing Britney Spears's VMA performance of Give Me More, where, you know, it just wasn't up to par with the level that she usually does. And I'm a fighter, so I push. I'll by nature. So I always push to present what I want to present, even in that time. But obviously, that just as it affected someone like Britney Spears with her Give Me More performance, it just so happens that my big televised debut was my Britney Spears Give Me More VMA performance, if you get the analogy. I also often get asked about the beef with Randy Jackson, and, you know, there are people who say that I'm lying about this and that it was all about being pissed off at not making it on American Idol. And I'll be honest, maybe about 10% of it was me genuinely being pissed off and not making it on American Idol. But come on. I was a fan of American Idol long before American Idol became part of my family. And so I knew what I was getting myself into when I signed up for the show. What got to me, and you can actually go back and YouTube my audition and see for yourself. If you're really paying close attention, Randy Jackson chose to spend the majority of my time in front of him critiquing me more so on the fact that I presented myself as a freelance music producer. And my one, and here's what I had to say about that. He could, how do you judge a talent that you haven't heard? Yes, he heard me perform, but let's be honest, Randy Jackson has never listened to any of my recorded music. He's never listened to any compositions that I've made or any of that. So how does one judge someone on a talent that they themselves haven't heard? And what pissed me off about that was I knew that he was an influential person on people's minds, and that did slow down for a short period of time business for me. Granted, I did get a little bit of extra money from the sales of from some of my music sales from stuff that was on iTunes. There was a spike in that during that time. But it's just, I wear a lot of different hats, and I could have played my cards as a sympathy case, but it was important to me at that point to do the bigger picture, let people know that I was this entrepreneur who was trying to do something. And at the time that I came into American Idol, I was just this guy with his own mom and pop indie music label, who happened to get lucky when his cousin recorded with a certain late 70s, early 80s music icon. He happened to have a major music deal that a month before his album was supposed to be released, the label let him go after spending millions in promoting him. And the music itself that he created, I was a fan of. So I had approached my cousin about distribution rights and if he owned the copyrights for those songs, and he informed me that he did. So he gave me the distribution rights to use all the music from his Quiet As It's Kept album. And for legal reasons, I'm not going into details of names right now with that. All I can say is I think the song is still featured on my MySpace page, although I barely go onto my MySpace page anymore because MySpace is kind of dead. It's featured as a hidden song there. I think once I played it once on this radio station, and I think I don't know if it's an older version of Storyteller or a newer version, but I think there's still a couple of albums still on Amazon that still have the song, but that's a rare album now. With that song, with that singer. Let's see. I think I've pretty much addressed it all. I mean, if you have any further questions about insights on American Idol, I'm willing to discuss that with you guys. Before I close this leave you with this. If Ryan Seacrest was a superhero movie, he would be Ant-Man. And this is why I say this. That dude, and he's a really chill dude in person, really approachable, easy to talk to. But that dude, let's just say, the reason why I would say he's Ant-Man is, like an ant, he's able to carry his own body weight in makeup. In between every single audition and every single take, they're caking on the makeup thick, repowdering him up and everything. I think he was probably wearing more makeup than J-Lo was. And that says something. J-Lo, you know, during my audition, she was wearing that whole headdress getup, and I think that was as a statement, you know, to say, hey guys, I'm more than just a sexy body. I also got a pretty face, because that headdress forced you to focus solely on her face. But she got her message across, so she never had to wear the headdress thing again. And so I'm gonna leave you at this. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Big Stats Idle Hour, and I'll catch you all on the flip side. Peace.